Hello and welcome to the Inner Healing Radio Show. I'm your host, Keith Renfro, and today we are going to talk to Tamara Holmes, or Tamara Holmes, I'm sorry, Tamara, and she is the CEO of Aerostar Consulting Corporation. But before we get into our conference with her, I wanted to give you a health tip for today. And the health tip is that we recently have been hearing a lot of the effects of marijuana being used for health improvement purposes. One of the things I think is relevant for everyone to know is that it has been proven from a study that was conducted back in 1972 by Harvard University that the HCT or HTC in the marijuana plant will cure cancer and any other type of disease that you might have, but only if taken by orally with the oil, not by smoking, not by chewing, and not by eating. So just a little tip of reference and information for you, particularly for those who are suffering from debilitating diseases. So back to our format here, and let's talk to Tamara. Tamara Holmes is, at the age of 16, she was introduced to the world of aviation by the Tuskegee Airmen Incorporated organization by the Chicago Dodo chapter. She took her first flight, and it was a life-changing experience for her. From that day on, she decided to pursue an aviation career. Tamara? Graduated from Proviso East High School in Maywood, Illinois. She launched an Aerostar Consulting Corporation in an effort to pave the way for tomorrow's leading professionals within the aviation industry. In 2010, Ms. Holmes achieved her goal of entrepreneurship, operating as president and CEO of Aerostar full-time, and in 2011, she received the Fly Sister Fly distinction from the National Bessie Coleman Aerospace Legacy Foundation. Over the past several years, she has been featured in major publications and media outlets, including specials from PBS, which is WTTW in Chicago, the Chicago Sun-Times, the Chicago Tribune, ABC News, and New York City Aviation Magazine for her work. For you people who are listening, you might be impressed and understand and knowing that Tamara, I keep saying that, I'm going to have to slap myself here. Tamara is the first African-American female in the United States to own an aviation company. That in and of itself is an achievement. So, Tamara, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Since we are exploring today's concerns with the youth and finding ways to instill hope to inspire them beyond their current environment, as you and I both know, a lot of the youth end up being within their own community and think that's all there is to the world. And being a pilot myself, I know how important it is for someone to be able to fly, and once they have achieved even their solo, they don't even have to get to their license, to achieve a sense of self-esteem that lets them know that they can do anything in the world. I can't think of any other occupation at this time that helps a child feel this way, or even an adult. So let me ask you this. Where do young people find inspiration from that you understand?
Well, yeah, I agree with you that, you know, aviation, even the industry as a whole, the occupation of flying and being a pilot is very inspiring and makes you feel like you can do, you know, almost anything, you know, to be able to control an aircraft, something that, you know, technology is so new and didn't even think was possible until over a little over 100 years ago. But when you look at today's young people, you know, what brings inspiration to them, unfortunately, is what they see around them in their own community. The people that inspire them the most are usually their parents or grandparents. the secondary people that would bring a lot of inspiration to them are people that they see on the news or in the media, celebrities, professional ball players, professional athletes, entertainers. That's where they get a lot of their inspiration from. And we hope people like you taking an interest in doing shows on things that inspire and, you know, the people that try to motivate these young people, that they would catch on to a different vision for a brighter future for themselves, one that they couldn't have even imagined. And that's what we do at Aerostar.
Let me ask you, in your opinion, how important is traditional education when it comes to inspiring young people, Ben?
That's a good question. I watched a TED Talk about did education kill creativity? And it's the top TED Talk of all time. If you guys can get on the internet and watch it, it's amazing. But I really do think that traditional education is not for everyone. It's not set up for those individuals who are highly dynamic learners that are very active. And, you know, especially when you look at the African-American community and young Black males, and so many of the young male population being diagnosed with ADHD just because they can't sit still in the classroom, I think is absolutely ridiculous. You take away art, you take away music class, you take away gym, you take away all the programs that school budgets are cutting, and then you expect kids to sit in the classroom every day for 5, 6, 7, 8 hours. And I just don't see how it's possible and how it's helping students do anything besides pass standardized tests. I've talked to many teachers, probably over 100 at this point, and they do agree that some things have to change with regard to the format of traditional education and training kids to take tests and not really enriching their individuality and creativity.
Well, I agree with you, because I find that a lot of the curriculum does not really stimulate children to think.
No.
To me, my perception is that it's more like they're training robots as opposed to free thinkers. So would you think that the schools don't provide enough resources to stimulate creative thinking for these kids?
I don't know whether or not the school actually can provide enough resources to stimulate free thinking under the current under the current structure of the public school system in the United States of America. They're geared towards standardized tests and getting kids into college, and I think where we're going to find a lot of traction for bringing creativity back into the school is to reach the kids directly through programs such as after-school programs and other electives that may or may not be able to be incorporated into the school day. So when I say after-school programs, I'm saying things like a robotics club, STEM club, science fairs or tech fairs. They have maker fairs now where kids who like to be inventors and build things. Younger kids even have engineering programs, Big Brother and Big Sister programs with the schools and high schools. So things like that, creative interaction with other individuals that can bring that creativity into the classroom, because so many teachers are strapped for time, for resources, and at the end of the day, their job is based on performance tests, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, it is, very much so. You're a mom. You have two children, married. How old are you, just so our listeners know? Because I find it so impressive to be as young as you are to have done so much.
I'm 37. So I just made 37. Yep.
Well, happy birthday.
Thank you.
You've been to college, and I'm speaking more to your age group and younger here to understand or get a better insight as to whether or not you think the college degree is still the ticket to fulfillment and success for this generation?
I think it's a ticket, but it's not the ticket that it used to be. I've seen a lot of studies and a lot of numbers coming out, and the generation now that we have, they're slated to do worse than their parents for the first time in the history of the developed nation of the United States financially. And I really believe that's because the job outlook and the needs that these companies have are not being met by college graduates. And that's because college graduates are not getting experience, but they're getting education. And when people are looking to hire, they're looking for people with experience, not education. So it's a very different dynamic than it was even 15 years ago when I graduated college. Definitely 20, 30 years ago, it was a must that you went to college. That was your key. That was your ticket out of, you know, your environment. It was a game changer. But now, you know, entrepreneurship, I believe, is the answer to, is the ticket to success. Entrepreneurship and financial education.
I agree.
Awareness and entrepreneurship is probably the two best things that you can teach young people in this day and age, because
let me cut you off for a second because we got to go for a break. How can people get in touch with you and your organization to help their children in their educational process?
Well, my website is aerostarcorp.com, AEROSTARCORP.com. Phone number 708-646-4300. And you can find me on LinkedIn. My name is Tamara, T-A-M-M-E-R-A, middle initial L, last name Holmes, H-O-L-M-E-S. Email address is tholmes@aerostarcorp.com.
Okay. We'll be right back. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back to talk to Tamara Holmes from Aerostar Corporation.
Walking around with hair dyed, fried, and laid to the side, black women's hair is severely damaged. Welcome to another segment of Ask Mr. Gray. Today's topic is how to treat overprocessed hair. Lots of women suffer from dry, overprocessed, or what we call fried hair. Overprocessed hair is often dry and very brittle. First thing you want to do if you find yourself in that condition is to give your hair a break from further treatments like coloring, relaxing, or straightening. And avoid products with harsh ingredients like ammonia, alcohol, or sulfur. Here's some tips. Tip number one, trim split ends off of your damaged hair, or have your hairdresser do it. Number two, use a sulfate-free shampoo for a gentle wash to avoid further damage. Number three, comb your hair while it's still wet, as your hair is stronger wet than it is dry. Number four, coat the tips of your hair with a leave-in conditioner each time you shampoo. This helps seal the split ends and restores the shine. Number five, apply a hot oil treatment once a week to add moisture. Number six, use a moisturizing spray to add moisture to the hair. It'll revitalize the limp hair, eliminate split ends, and restore a healthy shine. For additional questions, send me an email at mrgreg@newgrowhair.com. That's Mr. Greg, M-R-G-R-E-G, at newgrowhair.com, N-U-G-R-O-H-A-I-R.com. Thanks for tuning in.
Welcome back to the Inner Healing Radio Show. My guest today is Tamara Holmes, who owns the Aerostar Corporation, who has a deep-seated interest in helping the youth achieve their goals and aspirations. I'm your host, Keith Renfro, and I want to welcome you again because I know you have a busy schedule, Tamara. I appreciate the time that you're spending to do this interview. So,
thank you. Thanks for having me.
No problem. What assets can skilled trades bring to the academic environment then?
Wow. I saw a study the day before yesterday, article done by Nicholas Wayman. You can look it up, W-Y-M-A-N, Nicholas Wyman from Forbes magazine. The title of the article was Why We Desperately Need to Bring Skilled Trades Back into the Schools. I thought that article was absolutely amazing. And for it to come out right now in the middle of our push and our endeavors to reach so many young people with skilled trades, is just a sign that we're moving in the right direction as a company. Skilled trades, unlike traditional education, actually stimulate the parts of the brain that that create sparks of more brain activity and enhanced brain waves. It's been proven that when you're using your hands, you're using challenging projects and techniques to problem solve. It's a lot different than just sitting at a desk with pencil and pen. It's brain exercise. It's also physical activity. You're up, you're walking around, you're moving about. You have schools right now in Chicago Public Schools where I am doing automotive tech. Kids are fixing cars. You have wood shops still. Have culinary arts. You have cosmetology. They teach in at school during the school day. Pre-med at a couple of schools. Agricultural school in Chicago. And we're hoping to have an aviation high school in Chicago to teach aviation flight and maintenance and things of that nature. But skilled trades actually give kids an advantage because they lead towards, they give kids work experience, which they usually cannot get until they're 17, 18, or 19 years old, not just working at Wendy's or the drive-through at McDonald's like I did, but actually working in an industry from the age of 15, 16, and 17 because you have it at school. So that's a game changer to have work experience at a young age. It also leads directly to licenses and certifications. You can get a pilot's license at 16. You can get your airframe and power plant mechanics license for airplanes at 18, I believe. And so they don't have to wait to go to college and spend $40,000 or more on a degree when at the high school level they can be earning college credit, they can be earning experience for taking classes in skilled trades and go right into the workforce and working in their career field, career of choice, before they ever even receive a degree. And
do you think that the financing to get this education is worth it in the end, particularly if they're trying to get financing for work within the aviation field?
I'll say this. It's not worth it for everyone. It's definitely not worth it for everyone. You know, I graduated college with $14,000 in student loans, and I paid it all off within 7 years. I have friends who are still paying off their college loans and adults who are still paying off their college loans to the tune of over $100,000.
I understand. I got two kids doing the same thing now.
That it's unreal to me to think that I would be in my 50s and 60s and still paying back the government for an education. Most of the people that I went to school with are in a field that does not require the degree that they paid to earn. That's the number one thing that kind of got me. The statistics showing how many people do not get a job in their career field and have to transition or go into other work that probably didn't even require them to get a college education, but work experience. And so the cost, you definitely have to count the cost. You have to weigh the cost. If that's something that you're truly passionate about and want to pursue wholeheartedly, then I would definitely suggest you look for funding, scholarships, get your grades where they need to be, and work really hard to minimize the debt. Consider going to junior college for 2 years to get an associate's and get work experience and find a job that can help pay for your studies. And definitely go for those graduate internships and those fellowships for the PhD if you want to go that high. But money is out there. The cost is not worth it for everyone. There are a lot of kids who function very well in a skilled trade environment and gain work experience.
I agree with you. I think one of the things that the kids need to do is to look for advanced degrees beyond the bachelor level for whatever career field they're interested in. But I do believe that one of the shortcomings, because the kids get these astronomical loans, can't get the jobs afterwards is that they don't look and do the research to find out what these jobs will pay, how many jobs are available in whatever career field they decide to major in college. So that's where they, part of the reason they're coming up short. So with that, I'm wondering, what do you think is the responsibility of corporate America to educate these kids for the future workforce?
Well, I don't know if they know it's their responsibility yet, but I think they're about to find out. When you look at the U.S. job openings, 4.8 million people, companies are looking for workers, and we have 9.1 million people unemployed in America. This is from the article by Mr. Wayman from Forbes magazine. Employers are struggling to find people with the skills that they need. There's a skills gap. So the responsibility of the employers is to communicate to the universities and to the schools, hey, this is what I need. Perfect example is go look at the United States during wartime, back in the First World War and Second World War. Schools right here in Chicago were transitioned into military schools, factories, having kids go to school and work on components just for the war, sewing textiles and working for making uniforms and boots. And they literally transitioned all of the economy around sustaining a war effort. Well, why can't we look at transitioning in the academic arena so that we actually meet the skills need that these companies have? Nobody knows what these companies need but the companies. And I think it's their responsibility to let the education sector and these academic institutions know, hey, we need architects, we need engineers, we need pilots, we need air traffic controllers, and this is how we're going to help you do that. Whether they offer internships, whether they sponsor scholarships, whether they partner with a university who specializes in their area of expertise, that is the way that companies can be responsible for training up their own future workforce. And I think they should take a very great interest in doing that outside of depending on recruiting companies to go out and find them good people.
I agree. I recall when I first started to get my pilot's license back in the early 90s, I did some research, and one of the things that came up was about future jobs in America was that they would need many pilots. They gave a particular number I don't recall right now. But you got to figure if they need pilots, they have to have planes, which have to be repaired, built. They need air traffic controllers. They need people on the ground to maintain the aircraft. So there are a lot of worthwhile, rewarding occupations in the aviation field. That's one of the reasons why I think what you're doing is so so important, and I applaud you for that.
Thank you.
So let me ask you, what work do you do in the academic area that would, and what is it that drives you to do this work?
Well, the work that I do in the academic arena is I create aviation curriculum and programs for K-12, and my company provides post-secondary support for any student or young person wanting to go into a career in the aviation industry, not just pilots, mechanics, flight attendants, but we're talking about lawyers, doctors, aerial photographers, you name it, architects, engineers. All of those jobs can be found in the aviation industry, and it's our responsibility to teach these young people about these opportunities that they would have never known about otherwise. We run two after-school aviation programs, the Aerostars Aviation Exploration Apprenticeships Program runs through After School Matters Organization at two schools, Air Force Academy High School and Prospective Charter Schools IIT campus. And during the summertime, we service citywide students at a location for kids all over Chicago to be able to come and participate in the Aerostars program. They get career readiness. They get college preparedness. They write resumes. They do interviews. They do mock interviews. These opportunities lead to other opportunities like flight camps. Have five kids get pilot's license this summer through a program called Tuskegee Next that I partner with. So our after-school programs are not just about going and do something fun. They are literally changing kids' lives and giving them the expertise and the knowledge that they would get spending $20,000, $30,000 in college their first and second year. Most of our kids are getting that.
We're getting kind of close to running out of time here. Let me ask you quickly, and then you can give me your contact information again. Do you measure the impact of your program?
Absolutely. We measure the impact of our program. We track all of our kids from their entrance into, we call it the Aviation Academic Initiative Pipeline, and this is a group of all the individuals who are partnering with Aerostar and other organizations to be able to provide these opportunities to young people. So, yes, we do, and those numbers are starting to look phenomenal since we started in 2012.
Okay. Give us your contact information again.
It's Tamara, T-A-M-M-E-R-A, L Holmes, H-O-L-M-E-S. I'm on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Also call 708-646-4300. And you can also find us on the web at aerostarcorp.com.
Okay, thank you very much. I wish you much success in your career and helping these kids find better lives for themselves. So that's it for tonight's show of the Inner Healing Radio Show. I'm your host, Keith Renfro. Just keep tuning us in, and we'll give you more information that will help you from the inside out. Goodbye.